This being the second week of the month, I'm continuing in our series of lessons that I've loosely labeled as Jesus Is. We've done some lessons on deity, and we still have some other lessons we're going to do on the Holy Spirit, but I thought we need to spend some time talking about the various characteristics that Scripture talks about in regards to Jesus. And last month we talked about Jesus as our King. And, you know, kind of when you think about that, that's a little bit, it's not harsh, but it's a little bit commanding. The attitude of Jesus as our King, that's a statement of, we better listen. We can't get out of it. He's the one in charge. He rules. He's over us completely. And I'll be honest, we got a few more terms, characteristics of Jesus we see in Scripture. They're going to emphasize that idea. But this week I thought we would, I don't know, soften it a little bit. We still see the authoritativeness of Christ in Jesus as our shepherd. But really, when we think about this characteristic of Jesus as a shepherd, it gets more into the idea of care and protection and concern. And I think that's one of the things I want us to grasp as we look at these various terms that are used, these titles that are given to Jesus, the Son of God. Because they emphasize different aspects of who He is to us. And while, yes, He is King, and as several of our songs talked about, He is Lord. And we got a whole other lesson we'll do on that. He's also Savior. And He is our Shepherd. He is a leader that exercises great care and protection like a shepherd would care for his flock. And I know that imagery is not common to us. I would dare say there were very few of us that grew up with a flock of sheep to care for. In fact, I would say probably none of us here. This is just not sheep country that much. But the imagery that's used in Scripture of a shepherd over his flock is useful to us anyway. And if we want to learn a little more about that imagery, certainly there are places we can go and we can learn about shepherds. And we'll touch on a couple of things that might not always be something we think about in regards to shepherds as we go through the lesson this morning. The problem is that there's a lot of people in this world that say, I'm part of the flock of Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. But I don't think they really understand what it means to have Jesus as your shepherd. Because their thought process comes across as everything is up to Jesus. I don't have to do anything. He's just going to do everything for me. And I don't think that's what Scripture tells us. And so we want to consider Jesus as our shepherd. There are three passages that stand out, at least in my mind, when we talk about Jesus as a shepherd. The first one that might come to mind is Psalm 23. We've made mention of that in a couple of lessons recently. But also John chapter 10, where Jesus Himself talks about being our shepherd. And this lesson's also going to have a reference over to Luke chapter 15, where we talk about the shepherd and the lost sheep. But I wanted to start with this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, because Peter there, in talking to the shepherds of local congregations, references Jesus as the chief shepherd. He is shepherd over all. And so we'll be looking at some of those passages and considering those things as we think this morning and talk a little bit about Jesus as our shepherd. And one of the first things I think we see when we go over to John chapter 10, and we'll spend a good bit of time in John chapter 10, so if you want to turn your Bibles over there and follow along, or set your phone screens or tablet screens, whatever, and follow along, then certainly do that. But in John chapter 10, verse 3 beginning, Jesus says to him, the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And we'll get into that a little bit in just a moment. But the point we want to make note of here, instead of just the shepherd knowing the sheep, Jesus says the sheep know the shepherd. And we're not going to get into it, but if you remember our class in 1 John on Wednesday night, some of what we're studying there is talking about knowing God and how we can know that we know God. The sheep know the shepherd, and the shepherd knows his sheep. In verse 14 of John chapter 10 beginning, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus says he knows his sheep the same way that his Father knows him. And you go over into the book of John where he's talking with the apostles in the latter part of that book, and we come to a very clear understanding of the knowledge God has for Christ. And he says it's a reciprocal knowledge. My sheep know me as I know the Father. Very familiar, very close. Understanding one another, continuing to grow together. They know one another. But something else is here in these verses that maybe we don't always think about when we read through here. Jesus says, and keep in mind, he's speaking to Israelites. He's speaking to Jews, the people who were of the remnant that came back from captivity. Whether they were of the 10 northern tribes or the 2 southern tribes of Judah, there were many who came back from their captivities. And that's who this crowd is. They are the descendants of those who came back to captivity. So he's talking to Israelites, mainly Judah, and other scattered tribes that made up the Jews in these days. They are his fold. But he says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Well, we go over and we read in the epistles that Paul wrote, and we find the other sheep. We read in the book of Acts, we find the other sheep that he's talking about are those among the Gentiles who would hear his word and believe and obey. Cornelius, he's one of those. The Gentiles in Antioch, the Gentiles in Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium, and in Philippi, and Thessalonica, and Berea, and Athens, and Corinth, and Rome, and all of those places where Paul traveled, the Gentiles that may have been in the island of Cyprus. All of those various ones who heard the gospel and obeyed the gospel, they are of the fold. Jesus says, I need to bring them. How does he bring them? He sends out his messengers to tell his story and to show them how to come to him. And they will listen to my voice. And that makes one fold. There is not 2 churches. There is not a multitude of churches. You cannot choose the church of your choice if you're going to be in the fold of Jesus, our shepherd. You have to choose his fold. Singular. Because he is shepherd of one flock. But as Jesus continues in verse 26 and 27 of chapter 10 of the book of John, As he speaks to those Jews who were gathered, he says, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Why were they not among his sheep? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." Now, when we read the context, all the things going on there, we recognize that in general, Jesus is talking more to the rulers of the Jews who had rejected him because he was very popular among the common men, so to speak. And what he's saying is those who don't hear his voice, those who don't listen to him, cannot know him, and therefore they are not in his fold. That tells us that Jesus is one flock. Does not include some of the people, some of the sheep in the world. I think that verse right there is a verse that tells us that there are some who will not allow themselves to be shepherded by Jesus. They won't listen to his voice. And therefore they cannot know him and they cannot be in his flock. That's a distinction. Jesus knows his flock and his flock knows him. He's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. We also note when we look here in John chapter 10 that the sheep follow the shepherd. Look again at John chapter 10 verse 3 through 5. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." Knowing Jesus, knowing his voice, we follow Jesus, our shepherd. He leads us. His sheep, "My sheep," as we read in verse 27, "hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." If Jesus is our shepherd, we're following him. That's one of the things that differentiates between those who say Jesus is my shepherd and those who are in the flock of Jesus. And that's one of the distinctions that John makes in 1 John. As we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. I know I jumped a few scriptures there. We'll get back to those in just a moment. "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." If we walk the path of Jesus, we're following our shepherd. If we walk a different path, if we go back to the imagery used in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in darkness instead of walking in the light, we're not following our shepherd. And therefore, we're not in his flock. He is the leader. All of us understand, follow the leader. We learned that early. Mamas teach it to their kids so their kids will follow along behind them. Let's play follow the leader. Of course, you have to start out by holding everybody's hand to get them to follow the leader. But we understand that concept, and that's what Jesus is saying here. He's our shepherd, and he leads. But he's not going to hold our hand. He leads if we follow. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Notice the idea. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He leads. He directs the path that we walk. That's why Jesus, when He was speaking to some of the Jews, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" How can you possibly see me as shepherd or as Lord and not do what I tell you to do? What, you know what happens to sheep that don't do what their shepherd tells them to do? They get lost. They get lost. Jesus used the example of wise builders as He brings the Sermon on the Mount to a close and changed it in a sermon. I didn't change it up. Y'all couldn't see the mistake. Wait. See where that says Luke 7? Pretend like this word right here says Matthew. That word there says Matthew. I know it's only got four letters, but it's still supposed to be Matthew. I fixed it in my outline, forgot it was that way on the slide. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Which one had something that would stand? The one who listened and obeyed. Hear His voice. By the way, that mistake, that's why you're always supposed to double check everything I say and put on the screen. Well, one of the many reasons. Jesus said, "The one who does what I tell him to do is the one who hears my voice." He's the leader. Jesus is our shepherd. He leads. I know, I said when we talk about Jesus as shepherd, it's going to be a little bit softer and Jesus is King. And we've been kind of adamant here. But we need to understand these things before we can take advantage of the blessings. Note also, Jesus says there in verse 5 of John chapter 10, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I think that's one of the places where we fail in following our shepherd and being sheep in God's flock. We do listen to other voices sometimes. We do consider the things that other leaders speak. And we'll get in trouble when we do. When the sheep follows after a strange voice, he has problems. He gets lost. A sheep that will follow after any voice is not a solid member of the flock. He's one that has to be constantly watched out for, constantly worked with, constantly dealt with, because he does not distinguish between the voices. Remember, and we hadn't gotten there yet in our Wednesday night class, but remember John tells us, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. How do we know if they're of God? If they say what God said. If they don't say what God said, they're not of God. You know, it's very similar to what God told Israel about the prophets. If somebody prophesies and what he says comes true, then he's a prophet of God. If somebody prophesies and what he says does not come true, he cannot be a prophet of God. Are we only listening to the voice of Jesus? Later on in verse 8, Jesus gives the warning, "The ones who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." I'll tell you what, that's what was the problem with Israel. They kept listening to the thieves and robbers instead of listening to the prophet of God. I've been reading in Jeremiah, and I'm in the section where Nebuchadnezzar's already come and taken most of the people captive. Of course, Jeremiah is still there with the ones who were left. And I haven't gotten to it yet. Every time I start reading, I think I'm fixing to get to this point. I'm fixing to get to this part where they say, Jeremiah, tell us what God wants us to do. And Jeremiah says, God wants you to stay right here. Do not go down to Egypt. If you do go down to Egypt, I will chase you down and you will get in trouble. Do not go down to Egypt. Stay here. And they replied back to Jeremiah, you're lying to us. We're going down to Egypt. I've already read the part where Jeremiah told them, accept Babylon. Accept Nebuchadnezzar as your ruler. Because he's sent by God, and you will find peace. And they said, that can't be right. They didn't listen to the voice of the prophet of God, but they would listen to the thieves and robbers who were leading them astray. And they suffered the consequences. The sheep of God, the sheep in the fold of Christ, know who He is. They know His voice and they follow His voice and not the stranger's voice. They have the attitude of Peter in John chapter 6, verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for the Lord has revealed that to you. That revelation came from my Father in heaven. And that revelation is the foundation of my flock. Okay, I know He said, I'll build my church, but we're talking about the flock of Christ. You, Jesus, are the only one that has the words of life. The shepherd knows his sheep, the sheep know their shepherd, and because of that, the sheep follow their shepherd and their shepherd alone. If that happens, the shepherd can protect the sheep. It is impossible to protect someone who will not stay with you. Why are moms and dads so concerned? I started to say when they go to the mall. I don't even know if there are malls anymore. When they go to the fair or they go to the park, why are they so concerned with making sure their children are nearby? Especially when they go to a strange place. Because if their children get too far away, they can't protect them. That's why it's so important that we understand these first two. The protection comes when we follow Jesus. The shepherd gives complete safety and protection. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. John 10, 27 through 29. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Therefore, I can protect them. They're protected as they follow me. Let's go back up to verse 7 of John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for these sheep. If we know Jesus, if we are in His flock, if we are letting Him lead us, He will protect us. He will give us a place of shelter and safety. Daily, my prayer to God is, please keep me safe. Please keep my family safe. Watch over us and protect us. Every service time, my prayer to God is, please keep us safe while we worship. Keep us safe while we study. Why? Because I can trust that my shepherd will protect me. My shepherd cares for me. And he will protect me because I am in his fold. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can't remember when it was or who it was, but there was a friend of ours way back, maybe even before JB and I got married, I don't know, but a friend of ours through the family, that when you ask how you doing, she said, I'm drinking from a saucer. Because my cup is overflowed. She felt the care and protection of her shepherd. With God, we can go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. That's talking about the protection of Jesus. With God, we can sit down to the table with our enemies around us and feel safe. No, literally, we've got an example of that in Joshua and the Israelites on the Canaanite side of Jordan, just a little bit away from Jericho, circumcising the males and then sitting down to eat the Passover in the land of their enemies, because God had put fear in the enemies. That's the kind of shepherd we have. That's the kind of protection that Christ affords to us if we are in His flock. There's the kicker. That's what makes the difference. Am I following Jesus? Then I enjoy His protection. John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John says, little children, you are from God and have overcome. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In fact, it says overcome them in the ESV. And he's talking about the Antichrist. Those who were saying that Jesus wasn't the Christ, Jesus wasn't the Messiah. You've overcome them. Why? Because you are in God, and God is greater than them. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, no one can snatch them from my hand. Those who belong to the Lord, who are in his flock, enjoy safety. Enjoy the protection of God. And God is greater than the world. I sometimes wonder if we are actually living our life with that attitude, God protects me. Or do we shrink back afraid because of all the wickedness that's going on around us? You know, that's the message that John's trying to get across. Yes, there's a lot of evil people out there trying to do wrong. But because you put your trust in God, because you are in the flock of Jesus, you don't have to be concerned with that. You can overcome. I write to you that you may not sin. But if you do sin, Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, is also our advocate with the Father. I know I got those out of order. We have the protection of Jesus. Does that mean we can never fail? No, go back up a few verses. If we say we have not sinned, we're a liar. Truth is not in us. He just got through telling us, yeah, we're going to mess up sometimes. But you know when we mess up? When we're not close to Jesus. You know? When we're not close to Jesus. When we get ourselves somewhere that's away from Jesus. That's when we get in trouble. Jesus is always there. Having Jesus as our shepherd provides us with great peace of mind because we know He will protect us and care for us. Jesus told His apostles in John 14, beginning in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Jesus says, my going to the Father will provide to you a peace that you need. We can find peace in giving our lives to our shepherd, letting Jesus be the leader, the guide, the protector, the Savior. When Peter wrote later in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Not only do we have peace in this life because we are guarded by God, by our shepherd, but we have peace in regard to what's coming after this life. Because we, like the Apostle Paul, know that we've fought the good fight, we've kept the faith, we've finished the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness. It's not just for Paul, not just for me, but it's for all those who love His appearing. Everyone who is in the flock of the shepherd has that reward away, that eternal home. Jesus, our shepherd, because we know Him and He knows us, and we let Him be the leader, we enjoy His protection. And we know that our shepherd will lead us home. Our shepherd will lead us home. Jesus came to earth because we were lost. In Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 is a chapter all about lost people being found, or lost things being found. And I think sometimes we get so focused on some parts of these stories that we miss the main point. Follow along with me, beginning in Luke chapter 15 and verse 3. Jesus told them a parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And I don't know about you, but growing up hearing sermons and lessons from that parable, I was given the impression, I was actually heard statements that said, if you're lost, Jesus will come get you. And that's not what it said. That's not what it says at all. Jesus is talking to the Jews who all their history have turned their back on God. And God sent shepherds to go get them and bring them back. He sent prophets to go get them and bring them back. He sent kings that would bring them back. Kings that would punish them so that they would recognize their error and they would come back to Him. And then He sent His Son to bring the lost back. And He didn't just bring the lost Jews. He brought the lost Gentiles. That 99 that are saved, they're the Jews that were of the remnant, that were still faithful to God, that were looking for the Messiah. They saw Jesus and they wanted to follow after Him. The one that was lost were the ones who didn't see Jesus. They were hoping everything would stay just like it was so they could stay in control. And or, they weren't part of the Jews to begin with. They were sheep of the other fold, outside that fold. Jesus came to earth to rescue us from being lost. From our perspective, the shepherd's action in this parable has already happened. The shepherd went and found the lost sheep and brought them back. I think part of our problem sometimes is that we're sitting around waiting for Jesus to say, "Hey, wake up and come back where you're supposed to be," or to throw a lasso over us and pull us back into the fold, when what we need to be doing is saying Jesus is waiting for us to come home. Look, compare this to the prodigal son that's told later in that chapter. What did the father do? I know. When his son decided to leave home, his son ran off and started wasting his inheritance. Just throwing away what he had been given. And after a while, the dad, he saddled up the donkey and went running after him. No, he didn't. He stood there and he kept watching down the road. He kept waiting. And he kept standing there waiting. And when his son realized his wrong, he said, "Dad's waiting on me. Dad's got what I need." And he went back. And we won't get into the elder son in this lesson because there's a whole other story about him. We'll do that in another lesson sometime. Jesus has left the Father and came to earth to save the lost. Now it's our responsibility to listen to the voice of the shepherd, to hear His call. And the gospel, as found in the pages of the New Testament scriptures, is the call of the shepherd to come home. Our shepherd will bring us home He's provided us the way. He's given us the path to walk. All we have to do is follow that path, because that path follows Him. So the question for everyone here this morning, and it's a question you must ask yourself, and you must be willing to answer it honestly: am I following the shepherd? If I am following the shepherd, then I am in His fold, and I can enjoy His protection and His care, and He will take me home. He will take me to the permanent sheepfold that will never end. With all that we could ever imagine we might need, because we can't even imagine what we need for eternity. But Jesus will take us there if He's our shepherd. Are you following the shepherd? Jesus is our shepherd just like He's our King. And His leadership in our lives will bring us the protection and safety that we need in this life, and will guide us to home for life eternal. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died on Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sins? If so, you can be saved. You can be in His fold if you'll commit yourself to Him. Confess Jesus as your Savior. Turn from your sins. Ask for forgiveness. And you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. If you've done that in the past, are you still following the Savior? Whose voice are you listening to? The shepherd or the thieves and robbers? If you want to go home and be with God for eternity because you want to be with Him who created you, you want the blessings, the crown of righteousness, then follow the voice of Jesus. Confess your wrongs to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will, if we will come back to Him. Let's make sure we're letting the shepherd lead us through life. And if we can help you get things right in the sight of God, why not come while we stand and sing for your encouragement?